Okay, now we can start.
Locked On Bulls, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, a show for the most passionate fan base in the NBA.
If you build it, they will come. Joel, seen that movie? He's in the movie, Joe.
Hosts Jordan Malley and Matt Peck dive into the best Bulls news and stories around the NBA.
In our 670 The Score studios, Jordan Malley.
Shout out to Jordan Malley.
Did Matt Peck get a signed copy of that book?
No, Matt Peck, he didn't. No.
No.
I'll talk to D. Rose.
Yeah, you're going to make it happen.
And Matt, you will be getting your book soon.
Kick back and get ready for the best hour of your day.
Are players buying in, Jim?
Yes.
Fair enough.
And so all I was saying on this podcast, the Locked On Bulls podcast.
Locked On Bulls, 5 days a week.
Locked On Bulls starts now.
You can just see the vibe.
Here are your hosts, Jordan Malley and Matt Peck.
What's up and welcome into Locked On Bulls, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. I'm Matt Peck, also host of Bulls Outsiders on NBC Sports Chicago, following all 82 Bulls games this season. You can follow me on Twitter at Bulls_Peck. You can follow my co-host, Jordan Malley, at Jordan C. Malley. And you can follow us at Locked On Bulls. You can also find us on Facebook, facebook.com/LockedOnShyBulls. Shoot us an email, LockedOnBulls@gmail.com. And, of course, that text to voicemail line, always there for you, our fellow Bulls fans. That number is 331-979-1369. Happy Friday, Bulls Nation. Bulls have a game on deck tomorrow against the New York Knicks out on the East Coast. And a reminder, that is an early 4 p.m. tip-off, late Saturday afternoon, 4 p.m. Central Time. Maybe the Bulls can get themselves a win over a team that is perhaps the only team more of a nationwide joke than themselves right now, the blessed Knicks. Thanks, James Dolan. A couple of the things I wanted to get to on today's show to get you guys ready for your weekend. A litany of injury updates from various Bulls players that we got from practice earlier this week, and what that might mean for this team's rotation as we move forward for the remaining 23 games this season. And then also some updates on the hashtag Jim Boylan Says Stuff adventure that we have all been enduring together in this grueling season. So let's start with the injury updates. We heard the devastating news that, getting ready for practice the other day, Coby White was revealed to have tweaked his back. He did not practice. His status hasn't been updated for this Saturday's coming game against the Knicks. So we will see whether or not Coby's out there, whether or not he dresses, and just how bad this tweaked back is. But seeing as how Coby has been one of the few, very few bright spots for this team recently with his string of 30-plus point performances, man, that would be a gut punch. Let's all hope for the best there, because if we can't watch Coby for any stretch of games, we all might just lose our minds entirely. Here's what Boylan had to say about Coby. Quote, he was doing his practice routine that he does every day, every practice day, his pre-practice routine, so just one of those things. We feel he can work his way through this, and we'll see how he feels tonight, and he'll do his treatment all day, and we'll see how he feels tomorrow. So, not a whole lot of intel there. Moving on, brighter note, Wendell Carter Jr., Otto Porter Jr., and Denzel Valentine all participated in practice after some contact work with the Windy City Bulls on Wednesday. This is from the latest injury update from Casey Johnson via NBCSportsChicago.com. Carter put his chances of playing Saturday at about 80 or 90% and said that he'll definitely be on a minutes restriction whenever he returns. Boylan said he is, quote, hopeful that Carter and Valentine will play against the Knicks, but ruled Porter out. According to Boylan, there hasn't been a setback in Porter's progress. He's been cleared for contact and is participating in practice regularly, but there is still no exact target date for his return. We also saw, courtesy of Rob Schaefer, who also does great work covering the Bulls for NBC Sports Chicago, a video of Markkanen getting some work in at the Advocate Center on Thursday. He was spotted on the floor shooting and working through some drills with one of the Bulls coaches towards the end of practice. Markkanen currently 5 weeks into his initial 4 to 6 week recovery timeline from that early stress reaction in his pelvis. And that's not all. More injury news. Luke Kornet ruled out for the next 6 to 8 weeks from that ankle sprain that he had during practice. He also fractured his fifth metatarsal. So that likely ends Luke Kornet's season if his timeline is 6 to 8 weeks. Chandler Hutchison, meanwhile, remains out with shoulder soreness and has no timeline to return. Whew, okay. Wow. Did I miss anybody? Anybody else have an injury that we need to talk about? It's almost comical at this point. If it weren't so damn sad and frustrating, it'd almost be comical. How many bodies will Jim Boylan have at his disposal for the remaining 23 games of the season? Because we got the official update from the Bulls about Luke Kornet, and then we got from various people on the Bulls beat the update about Kobe White tweaking his back and not practicing. So let's just run through this really quickly. Bad news is we have no real semblance of a return date for Otto Porter Jr., despite what we're hearing that he's practicing and getting closer. Still seems entirely vague if and when Otto's coming back. Luke Kornet appears to be done for the season. Markkanen is getting some work in, and I think that the Bulls, and especially based on what we heard from John Paxson at deadline day, are very much banking on Markkanen coming back for at least some chunk of games because they really want to get him out there. And the same can be said for Wendell, who we might see as soon as tomorrow against the Knicks. So that's, I guess, the good news. More bad news for Hutch, who I would not be surprised just like misses the rest of the season with this re-aggravated shoulder injury. So it's a smattering of good and bad news with these various injury updates, but I wouldn't be opposed to seeing Wendell and Lowry get some run, you know, play a dozen or so games, maybe even, you know, closer to 15 or 20 of the remaining 23, if that's possible for one, if not both of them, to just try and salvage something, especially for Lowry, who had had such a frustratingly regressive season before his pelvis injury put him on the shelf. And, like, Wendell showed us some nice games. He had a bunch of double-doubles, but they were modest double-doubles, like, you know, 15 and 10, 12 and 10. And largely, we did not see the offensive development that we wanted to see from Wendell before he got hurt. And a lot of that, I think, just like Lowry, had to do with this offensive system that Jim Boylan has insisted upon running and the fact that Wendell had no place in this offensive system. So the whole we need to get guys back to see what we have, you know, thesis from PAX on deadline day is still, in my opinion, hollow and frustrating and pointless, because as long as they're still running Jim's stuff, I don't think it's going to be any different than what we saw for the entire first half of the season when all of these pieces were healthy and the Bulls were still losing games. But, I mean, at some bottom line kind of level, you also kind of want just something to make these games more watchable. And Lowry and Wendell would hopefully at least make these games more watchable, because we all remember, if you didn't successfully block it from your memory entirely, what watching Bulls games in March and April last season was like, if you made it that far. And if you did, kudos to you. Y'all know I was there struggling through with my fellow outsiders, because it was ugly. It was the Bulls. It was the Windy City Bulls playing against actual NBA teams on a nightly basis in March and April. And it looks like we were, you know, headed down a similar path this season with all of these injuries. But then suddenly, we might actually get a couple of our starters back in. So, I mean, I'm kind of torn on whether or not it's a good idea to throw these guys back out there in what is clearly at this point a lost season. The Bulls might still be talking about, you know, even as recently as earlier this week, I think Satoransky was quoted talking about still trying to make a playoff push. You know, Zach is out there gunning every night as best he can, and they don't want to give up. They're professional athletes, and they have pride. But realistically, the playoff dream is dead. And if the playoff dream is dead and you don't have confidence in these young players actually developing elements of their game, so long as Jimbo is in charge and running the show, what do you risk versus what do you gain if you put names like Lowry and Otto and Wendell back in there? And it's not just Lowry and Wendell, the young pieces. The same can be said for Otto, because guess what? when he's been on the floor, he's been useful since arriving via trade last season. But he played 9 games and hasn't played since to start this season. He's opting in to that $28.5 million next season because of missing most of this season with an injury and the fact that there probably won't be a better offer for him in the free agent market this summer were he to opt out. I think we all agree that that is the most likely scenario. So Otto's coming back and will be a part of this team, and theoretically this team's starting wing again next season if healthy. So maybe there is some usefulness to seeing if he and Lowry and Wendell can find some kind of chemistry with, oh, gee, I don't know, maybe Zach LaVine and Coby White. Play those 5 together for stretches in the remaining games and see what you see. But what do you risk when you're doing that in meaningless games? That's the battle that the Bulls will have to determine when the powers that be tell Jim, hey, maybe it's time to put this player on the shelf, or no, we really do want to get these guys back out on the floor. So that's all the injury news fit to print. There's a lot of it. And at this point, it's sort of a, not surprised. Still frustrating, but not surprised with this particular group and this particular organization. Today's episode of Locked On Bulls is brought to you in part by VisitArizona.com. The spring has arrived. Well, not quite, but spring baseball certainly has. Follow your favorite team, including, potentially, for all of you Chicagoans, the Cubs and White Sox, to Arizona for Cactus League spring training. Amazing weather and landscapes, exciting outdoor adventure, incredible food. Arizona is the perfect home base for Chicago baseball fans. 10 stadiums, 15 major league teams, and yes, that includes the Cubs and Sox, in 75-degree temperatures. All 10 stadiums in the greater Phoenix area within 50 miles of one another. You can meet your favorite Cubs and White Sox players and get their autographs before the games. And there's also so much to see and do nearby. Check out amazing restaurants and bars like Four Peaks, Angel's Trumpet Ale House, and Goldwater Brewing Company. Enjoy live music from local and national artists. Explore museums featuring everything from native heritage to modern art to musical instruments from around the world. Bringing the kids along to spring training, Arizona is a fantastic destination for families. Family-friendly resorts and hotels offer plenty of fun for kids of all ages, from water parks to horseback rides to wildlife parks, science museums, aquariums, and dude ranches. Plan your spring training getaway at visitarizona.com/springtraining. It's not too late. That's visitarizona.com/springtraining. All right. With that, now let us get to our latest episode in hashtag Jim Boylan Says Stuff. It has become a recurring theme for Bulls fans and media alike this season to try and decipher what exactly is going on in that rattled mind of Bulls head coach Jim Boylan. And speaking of, it was actually one of the talking points that Darnell Mayberry and I spoke on yesterday's episode, which, by the way, if you haven't caught that, go back and listen to our Thursday episode where I interviewed Darnell Mayberry, who does a great job covering the Bulls for The Athletic. Friend of the pod, a regular guest, first time he had been on in a while, and he had a funny anecdote about a particular instance of him and his fellow Bulls beat cohorts trying to corner Jim Boylan with a specific line of questioning when it came to the Gafford and Felicio rotation earlier this season. But there's just like some really interesting thoughts from Jim Boylan recently, because he had the stuff that he said pregame Tuesday before the Bulls Thunder game, where he was asked like if he expects his win-loss record at the end of the season to be a big factor when his bosses determine his job performance and if it might be held against him. And Boylan's response was that he would be surprised to see it held against him, and that this is not a season about wins and losses. It's a season about development and following through with the instructions that John Paxson gave him and Michael Reinsdorf gave him about, you know, molding these young players that the Bulls are trying to build with, which clearly sounds like a 180 from the goals that they set forth at the beginning of the season when Paxson and Boylan both brought up playoffs being the goal. Well, the Bulls are 19 games under 500 entering tomorrow night's game against the Knicks, and those playoffs and that goal are long gone. Long gone. So Boylan and the Bulls have shifted the goalposts. Will his bosses also view this season as it's okay that we shifted the goalposts? Because guess what? If there's one thing that this Bulls regime is good at, it's shifting goalposts and saying doing another and setting a goal and not achieving that goal and then telling us, well, that wasn't actually the goal. This was the goal, and we achieved that goal. We're happy about this goal that we've achieved. We're great. We're in great shape with our defense, and we're in great shape with our shot selection. I mean, it's ludicrous, but it's also not surprising. Just like the injuries we were just talking about. When you hear the Bulls, whether it's their head coach or their front office, say things like this, it's ludicrous, but not surprising. So we'll see. We'll see if Jim Boylan and his win-loss record this season is put on the line and he is held accountable for his win-loss record by his bosses when they, presumably with another fresh voice in this front office, determine whether or not Jim Boylan is the right guy to continue leading this team. But that was just the tip of the iceberg when it comes to Boylan and his latest thoughts about, you know, him being very confident in what he's doing. Because he was talking with media at practice again on Wednesday. And here's some interesting thoughts from Jim Boylan. Again, this comes to us from a Casey Johnson piece at NBCSportsChicago.com. I cannot wallow in that negativity or the things I can't control. Otherwise, I don't do as good a job on that floor teaching the guys that are practicing and are playing and staying positive and upbeat. And that's what I get paid to do. I take a lot of pride in my attitude in these moments. That's what this league is about to me. It's easy when your team is healthy and you're playing good and you're winning games. But a lot of us in the league right now are going through these moments, and that's part of it. All right, let's break that down, shall we? He was talking at first with this question about, you know, trying to coach a lineup right now that does not have some of its key pieces. And that's the negativity that he's saying that he can't wallow in, and he's just got to prepare the guys that are available and teach the guys that are available. The line that really cracks me up is, it's easy when your team is healthy and you're playing good and you're winning games. When has that been the case for head coach Jim Boylan? I suppose he could be referring to some of his previous stints as an assistant coach elsewhere. Because, gee, did you hear that Jim Boylan came from the Greg Popovich coaching tree? Did you hear that Jim Boylan spent some pretty winning seasons under Rudy Tomjanovich in Houston? I'm not sure if y'all heard that. But, yeah, that's on Jim Boylan's resume. But for him to say, whoa, yeah, so it's easy to, you know, have good times when times are good. What good times, man? When your roster was largely healthy. You have largely had a healthier roster than the one that Fred Hoiberg ever had, and you're doing less with it. You arguably have a more talented roster than Fred Hoiberg ever had in his rebuild, obviously not counting the, you know, the tail end of the Jimmy years, and doing less with it. And his quote, a lot of us in the league right now are going through these moments. Who in the league is going through the things that the Bulls are going through right now? The, you know, because on one side, it's John Paxson at least being willing to say, you know, every team goes through injuries. And certainly the Bulls have dealt with the brunt of injuries again this season, and probably more than the average NBA team. Not an egregious amount more, but more. But the other things that the Bulls are dealing with, national headlines that are only made national headlines when the Bulls are worthy of a joke. And a lot of that was what was going around All-Star Weekend. National media coming to Chicago and clowning the Bulls, how the mighty have fallen, how has this once proud franchise gotten this bad? So that's not something that the whole league is going through, Jim. That's something that you and your team are going through, and it could be less bad if you didn't operate the way you operate. But he continues to try and stress the positives. And look, like, to a certain degree, I get it. If I'm Jim Boylan, it's going to be really hard for me to go out there and say, yeah, this all sucks. It's all bad. I got nothing. The dude's fighting for his life, fighting for his job. But the sympathy only goes so far. You know, I kind of tweeted about this with regard to another viral video of a fan yelling at Jim as he was walking, down the tunnel after the Bulls lost to the Thunder on Tuesday. And it was another one that was very mean. The Bulls fan calling him a disgrace. And it was just the latest example of something like that surfacing. And my point was, my sympathy only goes so far because Jim took this. He put this on himself. It wasn't like the Bulls were just ready to move on from Fred and displeased with Fred and spun a wheel and said, hey, Jim, you're the next man up from anyone on the Bulls coaching staff. Jim was gunning for Fred's job. Jim wanted and took Fred's job because he convinced the Bulls brass that he could do a better job. And so far, despite myself and many not believing that Fred Hoiberg was the right guy to lead this team, Jim has done even worse. And the way that he conducts himself with the media and the stubbornness with which he operates, I'm sorry, but you put some of it on yourself, man. And Bulls fans are passionate and they are loyal. And yes, we are impatient. But this is bad. And Bulls fans have a right to say this is bad. And there are some who maybe not be Jim Boylan defenders that say, hey, man, it's not his fault. Like, the front office are the ones who gave him the extension. The front office are the ones who didn't do a coaching search and put him in this position. Yes, that's partly true. It's also very partly true that Jim Boylan essentially stole the job from Fred because he thought he could do better. And he's proving quite the opposite. So, yes, I can understand that Jim is going to try and spin any positive he can find to fight for this job that he recently got and prove to his bosses that they're still doing things the right way and that the wins will come. If you build it, they will come. You ever seen that movie, Joe? But this is the shit right here that breaks me. Because Jim goes on to talk about how much he believes in their system and his offensive system this season, as he talks about their shot profile, right? We have areas on the floor that we really value. A rim two, which is right at the rim in the restricted area, or a corner three. Those are your highest valued shots. Then you have a mid shot and an above the break three. There are four distinct areas that we talk about. You would like more of the rim twos and the corner threes because those are the most valuable shots. So, great. Jim Boylan read Basketball Analytics for Dummies and is, spitting out the bullet points so that the media can see that he knows what he's talking about. This Bulls offensive system that, I don't know, the last time I checked, they were like ranked 28th or 29th. I haven't checked in a while. But it certainly hasn't looked like it's gotten much better. Coby White has certainly helped. Maybe they've gotten a slight uptick from his recent production. But Boylan wants to brag about the Bulls' shot profile in this system that's so cutting edge. Oh, we're really embracing analytics. It's a dumbed-down version of it. It's a Cliff Notes version of it. And the Bulls don't have the personnel to make it work. And Jim refuses to adapt. Because you want to brag about, the Bulls rank second in shots from 5 feet or closer, and they rank ninth in three-point attempts. And he wants to use those things to say, well, look at our great shot profile. Well, on those shots 5 feet and inside, the Bulls rank 26th in actually converting them. The Bulls rank ninth in three-point attempts per game, but 22nd in converting them. So, he used to be able to hang his hat on the defense, at least. Even though the defensive rating stat, in my opinion, was gimmicky. Because the Bulls, yeah, they created a lot of turnovers. But they also let their opposing offense just run whatever they wanted and pick apart the simplest of blitzing schemes night in and night out if the offense was competent enough to do so, which most of them in the NBA are. And then when Dell gets hurt and Chris Dunn gets hurt and his defensive rating plummets and he can't hang his hat on that anymore. So now he has to look for something else. Oh, and there's something else we can hang our head on, his shot profile. And, well, let's reiterate what exactly it is we're trying to accomplish here with our rim twos and our corner threes. We all know what you're trying to do, Jim. But the problem is you're not doing it successfully and you refuse to change. It's only by necessity that he has recently come around to playing rookies Daniel Gafford and Coby White more minutes because of injuries to Chris Dunn and this guy and Hutch and Denzel and Luke Kornet and Markkanen and Wendell. Like, the only adaptations he has made, the only adjustments he has made have been born out of absolute necessity because of players that are injured. And even then, he oftentimes doesn't make adjustments. Running the same defensive system without Wendell, who covers so many holes, without Chris Dunn guarding the perimeter. It's all laughable. And again, I can understand that Jim Boylan has a need as the head coach of a team that is flailing, that is hopeless, that is dead on arrival, to try and find some positives to point to, not only for himself and to keep his guys motivated, but for his bosses to be like, look, some of the things we're trying to install here, like they could and should be working. They're not. We just got to stick with it. Because if he doesn't do something, if he doesn't say something in that regard, he's basically saying, fire me. I can't do this. I give up. I failed. And who knows, maybe Jim Boylan is so miserable at this point that that's what he wants, to be put out of his misery. But based on what I know about Jim Boylan and what I know about him on a personal level in our handful of interactions, and the way that he interacts and holds himself on an NBA court with his guys, with the media, he has far too much pride to throw in the towel and say, I thought I could do this, but I can't. He didn't resign when he was a head coach at Utah. The ending there wasn't pretty. When will we get to our ending of the Jim Boylan era? I don't know. I hope it's as soon as this offseason. And I understand, and I think most Bulls fans can understand, when Jim Boylan opens his mouth and says these things and says, well, look at the positives. He's doing so because he's a man who's trying to hold on to his job. And I, at the very least, I can respect that. But when you hear specifically what it is that he's trying to bring to light as positives, you can only shake your head and laugh, really, at this point. So that's what I'll do as I work my way into my weekend. Recording in the afternoon here on Friday, breaking down the injury updates, and boy, were there lots of them, and breaking down the latest hashtag Jim Boylan says stuff, and boy, were there lots of them. I don't know about you, but I could go for a beer right now on Friday afternoon. So that's my plan. I hope you all have a wonderful weekend. And again, if you haven't seen it, go back and listen to that episode we did with Darnell Mayberry yesterday. Really great conversation. Always appreciate Darnell stopping by the show. Also, there was a really solid episode of the Bulls Talk podcast that dropped this morning with the usual suspects of Tony Gill, Rob Schaefer, Jason Goff. Also, Casey Johnson and Layla Rahimi joining the crew of the regular Bulls Talk pod, my friends and cohorts over at NBC Sports. And also, if you're looking for a good read and you haven't gotten to it yet, that NBC Sports National column about marijuana in the NBA, it was by Tom Haberstroh, and I believe he had a co-author. Let me see if I can find it real quick. Tom Haberstroh and Monty Poole. It is a long read, but it is a great read that is worth your time, talking about the state of how the NBA views marijuana and its use from its players, including going back to an interview that retired NBA player Al Harrington did with now deceased former NBA commissioner David Stern. It's a very fascinating piece, and it's a topic that I think deserves a lot of attention as we move forward in the NBA and in all professional sports, and how we relate to players who want to use alternative methods of curing their ailments in their playing years and in their retirement. It's a great piece of work to read this weekend. So go check that out on NBCSports.com. It is, again, by Tom Haberstroh and Monty Poole. And it is called Marijuana and the NBA, Erasing the Stigma and Healing the Wounded. So there's some stuff to listen to. There's some stuff to read this weekend. And we will be back with a fresh dose of episodes next week, including a brand new first-time guest on the Locked On Bulls podcast. And this is one that we have gotten several requests for. So there's a little teaser for you. Stick around for next week, where we will bring in another guest. Try and get back into that rotation, bringing in more people to talk Bulls with us here on Locked On Bulls. For my partner, Jordan Malley, and for our wonderful sponsors here at the Locked On Podcast Network, Matt Peck, saying thanks so much for listening, Bulls Nation. Have a great weekend. We'll talk to you next time. Peace out.
Locked On Bulls, a show for the most passionate fan base in the NBA. Hosts Jordan Malley and Matt Peck dive into the best Bulls news and stories around the NBA. For more content and to stay up to date, head over to LockedOnBulls.com